your gaydar is not as good as you thought it was? Mine's terrible now. Well, no.
I don't think I had it, but in New York, it's just...
Hi, everyone. Andrew and Sarah here.
Hey.
So this conversation with Brian and Holly Johnston very quickly turned into just a straight up conversation. And we decided to keep it because it's real to real talk and it's real talk. So...
Yeah, it's why we like talking with Brian is because we go down rabbit holes and it's a fun time. And I think this is a really good opportunity to see a real estate agent, you know, as a family person and to kind of see that dynamic. And we really talk about how family life works with them. I think it's a good insight.
Yeah, it's fantastic because they're parents of four teenage boys.
Yeah.
Yowza.
That's
well,
right.
One's almost a teen, preteen, and then teens.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and so it really, really hitting the family stuff. So it's really fun, really good. The audio, we had a little bit of difficulty with the audio, so Sarah and I are going to be a little quiet in the background, but that's okay. You can hear Brian and Holly very well, which is what we like.
Right.
That's what matters.
Exactly.
All right. So enjoy, folks.
You can tell we don't see other people very much. We're excited to talk to someone different.
That's an excellent time.
It's a bad
comment. It's called Real to Real Talk, so we just wanted to real talk,
yeah.
Right? Talk about lives. And
yeah.
The cool thing about you guys, which is why I wanted you both on, is because you have a lot of kids and they're teenagers.
We have all the kids.
So that's why I was like, let's roll, because
This is our life.
Welcome aboard.
This is real life. And,
yeah.
you are a career woman, too.
Yes.
And obviously now a businesswoman with your own small business.
Well, trying.
Cheer dads.
Trying.
Cheer my sons.
Cheer
dads.
Boy cheer.
Moms of...
Boy cheer.
Moms of boy cheer.
I don't even remember what it is, which is bad, right?
Boys have been in cheer for you, forever.
Yeah, the problem... with it is the boys have historically just been the muscle.
Right.
So they're just there to lift the girls. Now you have the tumblers, because they usually have the stronger tumbling passes just because men are generally stronger. You have the very flexible boys now who are your better jumpers. So they're actually starting to be more showcased than the girls in the routines now. So they're not just muscle,
right.
Which is awesome for men. It's such a different world because we usually are always talking about women breaking the glass ceiling and coming forward and getting the recognition. But now it's about the guys in a female dominated sport.
Right.
So it's fantastic. The guys actually have more of a front presence on the mat nowadays, but they're still not in the merchandise. Everything is still geared towards the females.
Right.
So trying to overcome that and make it normal for boys to do cheerleading.
Yeah.
Which is why I started the Facebook page to provide support to parents
mm-hmm.
who have boys that want to do cheer.
Yeah.
Because they are becoming groundbreakers. We had a mom who was like, how do you deal with your husband or your ex-husband who's not supportive of it? Because they're still that stereotype. So the rest of us jumped in on giving advice because our boys are there.
Awesome.
Another mom, her son decided he's got sisters who cheer and he wanted to try out for the junior high cheer team.
Right.
And she actually had to go to the school board to say, because it was in their rules that it was girls only. And so she had to go and fight for him to be able to try out. And he made it. And he's the first boy in their district to be a cheerleader, not just in the middle school. And so all of us other moms were like, heck yeah, our boys did it. And they, and stuff. So it's still a very groundbreaking thing for boys to be more than just muscle on the cheer floor. So...
Right. Yeah.
And in our case, Christopher is a tumbler and a jumper, and he gets spotlighted in the dancing because he's a phenomenal dancer too. He's not the muscle guy. He's not the one doing the two mans that everybody pictures when they picture boys, because he's not the big muscle boy, but he is a phenomenal dancer and incredibly flexible. So,
and his jumps are stupid.
Oh, his jumps are stupid.
Goodness. They're amazing. That kid I don't know where they came from, but that kid's got hops all day long.
Yeah.
Because he's so bendy. I mean, he flies off the floor. It's really impressive.
So it's kind of cool.
How sports are still like that. Like, I did jiu-jitsu for years and I was an instructor. So, we had girls, but not enough to compete.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of introduced it. It was hard because little kids, girls advance physically more than boys at a certain age. So you have 4 to 6 year olds. I don't know. It was weird because we had to rally enough girls to compete. So how they do it in jiu-jitsu is women's competition, men's, and they were trying to make it enough for girls to compete and then boys. And then you had an option to do absolute, which would be you can verse the other gender, which was absolutely never fun.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. Boys are sweaty and gross, and generally we don't smell good. So
They just physically are stronger.
It would be solely based on technique, but when you're in a competition and you're against another male with the same belt level, he's heavier. Even if you're in the same weight class, how he's distributed, it's just not a fair fight. So it's just I'm not going to do absolute ever again.
Yeah,
I like the way you phrase that. How he's distributed.
It is.
It's where your weight is. No, you're absolutely right, though.
Yeah, it's for guys. And so when he's on top of you throwing his shoulder, it is totally different than having a woman throw her shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, both suck. His is going to kill you.
You got no chance.
Yeah, you've got to fight dirty. And I'm like, I'm not a dirty fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta fight.
Well, that's where you move into more of the Krav, where you're using their weight against them.
Right. And
Krav, you really fight dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that too. We have to. That's defense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Find a soft spot and exploit it.
Exactly.
Yes. Oof.
No, thank you.
No.
So,
now,
again,
Brian,
no,
do you do any cheer?
That's
perfect. Real estate and cheerleading.
No, I have resigned myself to being the family cheerleader, to just be there and to cheer everybody on and to be there in a support role only, because there are a lot of things that I do well. There are a lot of sports that I do well. The only sport that any of our boys that wasn't very nice. The only sport that any of our boys play that I'm any good at is baseball. Our 14-year-old plays basketball. I am horribly, just god-awful, embarrassingly bad at basketball. And anyone in our family will verify that. Cheer is very much the same. I have never had a tumbling bone or flexible bone in my body. Thank you very much. If anything, I'm accident-prone enough that we'd need an insurance rider just for me to be allowed anywhere near the mat to do that. So no, I do not. Thank you very much for asking, but cheer is not my thing. I am perfectly content, like I said, to be there and cheer on and support everybody.
You're
and
kind
the
of be
encourager.
I'm the taxi driver too, but the encourager, sometimes the shoulder to cry on when things don't necessarily go the way.
You're a realtor at your family too.
Yeah, sometimes.
The
last time I was here, I think we talked about that, right? Like a lot of our role in real estate is playing psychiatrist.
Yeah.
To keep people from going over the ledge, because, and I'm sure anybody who has listened to anybody talk on this podcast knows, there is no such thing as a painless real estate transaction. It doesn't happen. There's always some weird little thing that's going to make everybody lose their mind at the end of things and think that it's not going to cross the finish line, but that's where we come in. There are experts in the room, and that's why people hire us, is to get things over the finish line and to know how to navigate those obstacles and roadblocks that come up.
Yeah.
And then, of course, how to handhold and guide our clients through that same process and to keep things on an even level. And to a certain extent, it is a lot like being a parent in that regard.
And this market's crazy. And
a little
so,
bit.
You have to be, I'd imagine, more accessible to people.
24/7 right now. I mean, with the way that things have gone, a house could hit the market while we're talking now. It's 150, according to my watch. That house will have had at least 3 or 4 requests for showings and maybe even an offer sight unseen within probably the first 30 minutes to an hour.
That's crazy.
We joke that all you have to do is say the words, I think I want to sell my house, and you'll have people ringing your doorbells.
Right.
In some neighborhoods, they don't even have to think that.
Yeah.
I saw a post on Nextdoor last week, the week before, where somebody had somebody walk up to their door and ask them if they would be willing to sell it because they just liked it that much from outside. And the conversation was, what the heck? Is that real? Is this a thing that's happening? And the answer is yes, because there aren't enough houses right now.
No.
There just aren't.
Yeah.
Builders can't keep up on the new side for a lot of reasons. Personnel, number one, as people demand are trying to find their way back into the workforce, demand is very high. Supply chain is probably the single biggest hiccup. And actually, Holly can talk to that a lot more intelligently from that side of things, because her company actually manufactures and needs raw materials and things. So,
Now granted, we're in the chemical business, but supply chains across the board are just, I don't want to say they've stopped functioning, but they're struggling. Getting raw materials in any industry right now, unless it's something, I can't even say domestically sourced, you can't get it. Between the weather issues that have happened, so any raw materials coming out of Texas, Louisiana, that region, were shut down because of the ice storms recently. So they're just trying to get back online. Importing raw materials from other countries because of everything with the virus and stuff happening, it's just so almost a trickle getting materials in. So getting those containers in, doing it safely, doing it properly, everything being inspected the way that it has to be inspected. Some of those countries are still in lockdown modes as well. Right. So they're not producing the amount of raw materials that we're used to or that our demand is. So it's becoming crisis mode across the board. In our industry, a lot of our raw material suppliers have used the force majeure clause in their contracts, which is a clause that says you can't punish us because we failed to deliver, because we can't deliver due to acts of God, basically. So the virus falls under that, weather falls under that. So anything that's outside of their direct control, we can't put penalties against them for failing to supply. So they're enacting that right now. So you're just crippled. And when you have suppliers of raw materials, those things have all been tested and confirmed to be worthy of your product. And so building and things like that, you can't just easily switch suppliers because you want to make sure the quality is equal or better. Because obviously you don't want to bring in a poor quality raw material and now your finished good, your house has problems. You also have to be careful of the price, supply and demand. So now your prices skyrocket. Yeah. So you've gone to contract on a new build house at, X dollars, but all your materials have now gone up 20-30%. Mm-hmm. Now your profit margin is gone in some cases. But you're under contract with your buyer, so you don't necessarily have the means to recoup that. So now companies are struggling financially as well. So it's a tough situation, I feel, for new home builders right now for that reason.
And buyers to a certain extent.
Yeah, buyers. Sellers of, existing homes, hey, they're in the driver's seat right now.
Yeah.
Of course, they got to have somewhere to go.
That's what I mean.
If they have somewhere to go.
I wonder, I know people being home and exposed a lot, aside from people who are divorcing and they need to move, the trend to move, I don't understand, because it's like, is it like Amazon, you wore Amazon out, so now you need bigger? Not that I'm trying to word against it because it's good for us, but it's like, there's not enough. There's just not enough.
No, and it's a good
there's no moving parts. starts?
Yeah.
That's a really good question. And it really is a question of who is moving.
Right.
Right. And I think that at a certain point of your life, when you're already a homeowner, you tend to only think about homeowners who are moving.
Right.
Right? Oh, this house has gotten too small for me, or the walls are closing in.
Right.
So now I'd like something bigger. But there's also a huge influx of buyers, millennials especially, who now represent better than a third of home buyers, who have probably never owned a home. They're in rentals currently, or they're in an apartment, or wherever the situation is, and they've finally gotten to a point financially where they're stable enough and happy enough and content enough that they want to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's a situation where you can want all day,
right,
but there's nothing to fill that want, or
right,
there's a very limited capacity to fill that want.
Yeah.
So buyers are definitely in a unique position where, you know, we've got essentially free money. I mean, let's be honest, interest rates are lower than they have been in 40, 50 years.
Right.
And even if the trend of this year continues, which generally speaking, the consensus seems to be that maybe we'll see 3.3,
that's still really
0.4
low,
maybe at
right,
the end of the year.
Yeah.
It's still lower than
still stupid
ever.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous. So money is cheap, which is a really strong incentive for people to want to get a mortgage so they can buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and as Holly mentioned, when you finally get to that point, now you've got 15 or 20 other people potentially that you are, you know, for lack of a better word, competing against for a house. And so, you know, as a realtor, my job, going back to being a counselor and kind of that psychologist position, is to just help maintain sanity through that process and to remind people, yeah, it's going to be a struggle. It will be real. There will be a fight involved. We're going to have to be very patient. We need to prepare ourselves to be disappointed in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
But keep your chin up. Things will get better. The sun will rise again tomorrow, I promise you.
Yeah.
You know, and just because you may not have gotten the house today doesn't mean that you won't get the house that you want tomorrow.
Right.
And I would say we're perfect examples of that. When
mm-hmm.
we moved here from Texas, coming up on 2 years ago now, which is mind-boggling.
Crazy.
We were under contract for a completely different house than we are currently in. Our house in Texas was taking a little longer to close than had been anticipated. Our sellers here got nervous about that and cut the deal short at not even the 11th hour. It was like 11:59. We were 2 weeks out from closing. And so we went with our agent. And in her capacity as a psychologist, she took us out for beers.
Yeah, we went drinking.
God bless her, we did. We went to Gastonia.
To a brewery.
I can't remember the name of the brewery. I should have given him a shout out, but I can't remember. But
yeah,
they will always hold a special place mm-hmm. in my heart because, A, we were licking our wounds there. But, B, and again, I want to point out just how much I love this app. Stay away from Zillow. Go use the realtor.com app.
Oh,
the
yes.
realtor app is tied directly to the MLS. It's real time.
It's
sees
awesome.
Everything.
Yeah.
It's accurate. And you're not going to be disappointed when you go on there and find out that the house that you thought was there actually sold 3 weeks ago. So that's my pitch for realtor app.
Right.
It's fantastic. But while we were there, even though we had agreed in advance that
we weren't
going to talk
do
business,
it.
I was absolutely thinking business and looking at houses, and the house that we are currently in came on the market while we were there. So
awesome.
While we were there, we made an appointment for the next morning, and strangely enough, even though this was almost 2 years ago, our house was actually a bit of a buyer's war for that one, just because it had so many great kind of features and
right.
functions and everything.
Right.
So we were very fortunate to be in that position, and I always try to remind people that, you know, just because you thought something was going to be perfect doesn't mean that there's something maybe more perfect
right.
around the road or
right.
around the corner.
Yeah.
So there's always good news on the horizon. Mm-hmm. Stay the course. Be patient. Hang in there. It will get better. This too will pass. And as time goes by over the course of the year and some of those things that Holly talked about earlier start to shake loose a little bit, you know, there will be more homes that come available. There will be more people who are looking to sell, especially as they start to see things shake open and realize
right.
there is, in fact, a place for them to go once they have
right.
sold their
home. And that's super helpful because I was like, where are all these people coming from? But you're right. There are people, like, literally aging out of mom and dad's
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
they're coming from different states.
Well, and you'll also have not just people looking to upsize, but downsize.
Mm-hmm. Downsize.
Empty nesters. Their kids maybe graduated from college back when we were just shutting down.
Yeah.
And had to move back home because the world was shutting down, and now they're able to get jobs and their kids are getting out and they're going, we have too much space. There's mm-hmm. two of us wandering around this house. We don't want to take care of it anymore. Yeah, and so they're looking to downsize and move into some of these great 55 plus communities that are like country club living yeah. for old people, yeah. which sounds amazing to me. But
oh my God, my parents live in one like that and it is just... Oh my gosh, I'd yeah. kill to live there. Are you kidding me? Like, I want to yeah. dress. I want to do. I want to do. Isn't it Perfect Strangers that we were talking about earlier where they kind of have to dress up? Or is that was Bosom Buddies?
No, that was Bosom Buddies.
Bosom Buddies. Never mind. Where, but, where they have to dress up movie. As women to find a place to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to dress up like a woman, but I wouldn't mind dressing up to be an old person hey, just to live in one.
We're right? starting to knock on that door.
Yeah, could you not?
Those are really nice.
Really? Really you had to go there? But yeah. Oh my gosh, they're phenomenal.
I know, yeah. I'm counting down. I'm like, I really love this house, but if we have another, we're going to need more room. I'm like, couldn't we just finish the basement? Because they're going to be gone, and then well, this is like the perfect size.
Yeah. Our basement's too short to finish. But
they're tall, too. They're going to be tall, so we couldn't stick them in the basement.
No. I mean, you for could a little if, while, you, if you didn't but... mind them hunching for the rest of their lives, yeah. I'm sure yeah. it'd be okay.
I but... the basement.
Just dodge the drain pipe. I've hit my head on
that
a few times.
I mean, after a while, though, you know, it becomes second nature, right? You just duck.
Yeah.
Duck and cover. You yeah. just know where you're supposed to go. But know your surroundings, man.
You're in the 5 feet.
Come on.
There you go. Stop making tall kids. I mean,
yeah, right.
like we have so much control over that.
Right.
I was going to say our kids are all turning into man children.
They're all
giant. Yeah, I know. They're very, very close.
So how is like the because I'm sure it's chaos for your schedule. You know, you talking about being on call 24/7. How does that and you work? How does that interplay with your dynamic, your family life, the craziness that is sports that you guys are in? what's that look like?
You know, people ask us. They ask us that
all the
time. Forever, we've been asked that, and. The answer is always just
we just
do it. Yeah, it really is when something matters to you and it's mm-hmm. important enough to you, you find a way to make it happen. And the short answer of that is our kids matter more to us than anything else that we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we can, it's not even an if, it's we find a way to schedule around that. So typically I'll let a client know, hey, look, I am available to you 24/7. Just know that if you call between 6 and 9 on a Friday evening, there's a good chance there might be baseball going on in the background. But I will absolutely answer the call and talk to you. I typically will tend to schedule my showings and other appointments around that where possible, because I think there is always a house. A house is not going to change its status in that first 30 minutes or
right.
You know, the first couple of hours, because people do want to wait at least a little bit and see how many offers they get. There's a level of patience on both sides that comes along with that.
Yeah.
And I think that it's just a question of setting expectations at the outset. But from a family dynamic perspective, we just have kind of gotten used to the idea that we're Uber drivers to a certain
mm-hmm.
extent, right? Our oldest can drive now. Major blessing.
Yeah, huge.
You know, because he's in the chair gym, what, 5, sometimes 6 days a week.
Wow.
So now that he can drive, that takes one... That's one less thing we have to worry about. But
yeah.
as the other three have begun to kind of see sports start to reemerge, thankfully,
mm-hmm.
now it's kind of we're getting back into that kind of more familiar
yeah.
groove, right?
Well,
where
yeah,
it used to be a little
flexible,
different.
But you could just answer the phone at somewhere you're not at office. You know what I mean?
That is absolutely
yeah.
true. And, you know, technology has evolved so much, even just over the last year.
So great.
That now, I mean, we can conduct business over Zoom if we have to. We
right.
can do almost every... contractual piece of the business can be done on a tablet, a laptop, a phone,
right.
through DocuSign or Zip Forms or whatever the case may be. So we can do a lot of the business side of things virtually.
Yeah.
It's the, as a buyer's agent, that's where the flexibility kind of needs to come into play, is I've got to be available to you guys. And
right.
so thankfully, you know, we've got enough cars, we've got enough patient people. The kids are close enough in proximity a lot of the time, even when they have overlapping practices,
yeah.
that it can be done by a single person. It's just that single person might need a shot of vodka when they come home.
Driving in circles. Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's with all the bad that's happened in the last year, the good has been I'm working from home too.
Yeah.
So instead of me having an office that I have to drive an hour one way to go to and be there 8 hours a day. I'm home, so I have the flexibility well. So I can do things when I know he's got stuff going on. I can pick up that extra slack as well because I'm there. My company has been awesome to be understanding and flexible because they recognize that we got kids at home. We've got life going on too. My boss now knows all of my children and all of my pets because of Teams meetings. So, you know, it makes it a whole lot easier. But even before that time, we have that 10 minutes where we're like, okay, I got this, this, and this. You got that, this, and that. Okay, how do we coordinate? Okay, you got him. I got that one. We'll see you in bed.
Like, you feed these kids, I'll feed these.
Yeah, when we talk meals, I mean, we are not good about cooking at home. We are not good meal planners. We do eat out a lot. But, you know, when you're feeding four active boys, it takes a lot of food.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, some nights it's, okay, you feed the ones you've got, I'll feed the ones I've got. And thank goodness Christopher is pretty self-sufficient because he just takes care of himself when he goes his direction. Amen. And we just figure it out. And then the days that we do get to see each other, it's, okay, I'm going to download all of my stuff. Okay, now I'm tired of talking. Now you download all your stuff. Okay, I'm tired of listening to you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Brain dumps, right? It's just brain dumps. It's just a dump, and oh my goodness, the volume of information that comes out of us both on those days, where it's just finally an unloading day.
It's probably frightening.
Oh my goodness, you wouldn't want to be there. No. I don't think you'd want to get in the middle of it. It's just lengthy.
That's good, though. Yeah, that's good. That's
it
good.
Is
just
nice
catch each other up on what's happening, and
yeah, that's connection.
Well, we've been together 24 years, which I did the
did
math.
Did you do the math?
97. We met in the summer of 97.
Yeah, you just turned 21.
I did. Yeah, Holly actually bought me. She illegally paid for my first legal drink. If that makes sense. She had her sister's ID. We went out to
Taco Mac.
That's what I'm talking about. For wings and a beer. Mm-hmm. And I got my first legal beer. And she paid for it, even though she was not legally doing so. But
in the end, it was legal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's legal now, so it's all good.
Exactly.
It took another year and a half
ID
before she
said
could, the ID said she was old enough.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nobody, and nobody knows which Taco Mac we were at.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
It's a secret.
She didn't take it in.
Yeah. But yeah, 24 years of doing this, you know, we
met working together.
We met working together and actually worked together for probably the first, gosh, what, we left Honda in 2010.
We left Honda before Tyler was born.
Yeah, 2009. So for almost 12 years off and on, we worked together. We started working together in a restaurant. Holly left and went into the corporate world, and I followed her to her corporate job just a couple years after that when we realized we wanted to start a family and that restaurant life wasn't really conducive to that.
Right.
So off I went, which actually kind of kickstarted my corporate career before real estate. And for a good part of 12 years, we learned how to coexist peacefully, be able to dump on each other, you know, about work, but also to still live our lives.
Right.
And honestly, that's kind of relationship goals, I think, for a lot of people, because from the outset, almost everybody we ever met was like, you work with your wife, you work with your husband, you work together, and you don't want to kill each other? How does that even work?
We really get along.
Yeah, and I don't know what the answer to that is, other than we just, we complement each other well.
That's it.
Yeah.
Holly is absolutely the, depending on the day, but usually more often than not, the raging yin to my sobering yang, or however that goes.
Yeah.
You know, she's always been the more assertive, aggressive of the two of us.
Right.
But it can flip from time to time. But we complement one another well.
Yeah.
Well, I'm more analytical. Well, you're more creative.
Pie in the sky kind of person for me. And just having a person and a partner and a teammate that you also happen to love works out really well. And, you know, you guys, I think, are a really great illustration of that, too. Because, you know, before I met you, I always assumed, and I don't know if it's, I don't think it's sexist, it's jobist, because I assumed that because Andrew is the inspector that he was the one doing all the social media stuff.
Yeah,
turns out I was wrong, and as soon as I met you, I knew exactly that I was wrong, because you are, you can see the creativity.
Yeah.
it explodes out of
this
you,
is
and
my
I love
dream.
That. Yeah, and right, and we're sitting in your kitchen, yeah. and you're in your dining room, and here we are just surrounded
it.
By, I know it's awesome, I love all the pictures of the boys, and just the cuteness, but you guys compliment each other well, and I think that is what people should aspire to, you know, when they're starting a relationship,
yeah.
or even if they're in the later stages of a relationship where they're kind of figuring out, okay, we've been around each other and stuck together for the better part of a year.
A lot of time.
We're like very independent, and it's just a wonderful thing that we compliment each other, because like there are some days I'm like, get away from
yes.
me. But we work so well together. It's like, oh, we're good.
Well, and I think the important thing is that you're confident and secure enough in your relationship that you don't take it personally when somebody's like, look, I just need my own space.
Yeah.
Because
I just want to go to bed.
I just want to go to bed and watch TV and not have you in the room.
Right.
Because, and that's not a personal attack. It's
how can I miss you if you won't go away?
Exactly. You just, I mean, we're humans. We need our own space sometime. And when you work together and you live together and you've lived in this world that we've been in the last 12 months, you can't get away from each other because you're just not supposed to. And you need your own space. You need that time to decompress and to be you. Because
right.
you don't, the worst thing that could ever happen, and we had the struggles. I mean, we haven't been perfect all 24 years. You do have to be careful to not lose who you are.
100%.
You have to still be who you are and still strive to be the better you for you and not for anyone else. And, you know, you don't want to bring work home, but sometimes you have to, but you don't want it to consume your whole life.
Right.
You still have to be able to have the things you enjoy in life and you enjoy as a couple and you enjoy independent from each other is really critical to make it successful.
Words of wisdom.
And I used to tell people...
I told you before, she's way smarter than I am.
Sometimes.
I know, and
sometimes.
I'm far more eloquent when it comes to things like this. She's the perfect person to talk to about how we work and why. Because that analytical mind goes to work on it.
Yeah. Well, I used to tell people, you know, because we drove to work together, we worked together all day. I mean, we literally sat across from each other for a number of years in that corporate life.
Yeah. And the building was short walls.
Yeah. So we were in our little
everything was just
cubicles. I mean, we stared at each other all day long. And then went home together. And I used to tell people, it wasn't true, but I used to be like, well, during our commute was when we would talk about work. And then once we got home, it was done. Well, that's not true. And everybody knows that. But it sounds good in theory. But we would still talk about work and the problems and the stuff. But we always found something not work related to be a passion for us, whether it was our kids or football or eating out or, you know, whatever it happened to be at that particular time.
Be your individuals together.
Yes.
That's the thing so he'll ask me, because I'm a mom all day, we homeschool, like we chose to homeschool pre-pandemic. And it's preschool, so it's like, what am I thinking?
Yes.
You know, so like...
That's not just tea in that cup that I'm...
There's that as well, right? And so like, he'll come home from an inspection and start telling me all about it. And I'm like, I don't care. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, so now it's that we finally got a year and we're like, he'll wait. I'm like, how was your inspection? And sometimes I ask 24 hours, 48 hours later. Like, I just like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll... You know, we'll bring up something. He's like, can I talk to you about the business? Or I'll ask him, because, you know, we have to ask first instead of just dumping on the other person, because I'm in a completely different space.
Yes.
I have my teacher hat on, or I have my mom hat on, and then it's like, yeah, so now we just ask each other.
Yeah.
We need to make the transition a little easy instead of
Yeah, because he's full on work mode.
Yeah.
And I even sound different when I'm on that mode. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You
have your voice.
You're
and your
on.
Yeah.
Mom voice and so, teaching voice.
Right. And I'm just like, yeah. So it's funny how we have to like segue and transition and then give each other a moment before we start talking about it. Because we'll start talking and I'm like, I didn't hear anything you just said.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes I just don't even.
It's funny because I can feel Holly agreeing with you from across the table. Like, oh my God, yes. I really wish Brian would ask me if it was okay to talk at me sometime.
I have a tell him to ask because I don't think to ask.
Yeah.
Because I'm in my own headspace, so I'm thinking, yeah, you're picking up what I'm throwing down, right? He's like, what? Because I do too.
No idea what you
now,
just said.
Now, I have gotten to the point where I'll say, and it probably hurts your feelings initially, I'll say, I really don't need anyone talking to me right now.
Oh, I get
like,
it. Yeah.
Please don't talk anymore. And then sometimes he'll ignore me.
Make it stop.
And he'll still talk, and I'll say, I asked you to not talk.
Why are you still talking?
Why are you still talking to
There's
me?
There's still words coming out of your mouth.
But it's funny when you were saying about your voice changes, because sometimes I'll have just gotten out of a work meeting.
Yeah.
And our youngest, Flynn, he's 9, so his desk is right next to mine doing remote school. And I'll have just finished a work meeting, and I'll turn to talk to him, and he'll be like, why are you talking to me like that? Like, change, you know, and because I'm still in that work voice, turning to talk to him, and he'll call me out for using a different voice. I don't necessarily know
I didn't know I did it until our 4-year-old grabbed the phone, quote unquote. It wasn't a real phone. And he was like, So, and he's talking, and I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm working.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
That's your vision of work. Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's the way that our kids see us is so very different from the way that we see ourselves.
Right.
And you can
You're
learn.
Such
a
mirror.
Oh my
it's
God,
so
you learn so much by watching your kids kind of pretend to be you.
Yes.
They really truly do learn by example, not by
yes,
what we just tell
do.
Them. Right. So like we have been trying, I would say we've been failing in a lot of ways, but like we try to read more and spend less time on phones and devices and stuff.
We do
like
try.
That was one of my goals this year, was to read one fiction book and one nonfiction book every month.
Yeah.
Okay, so far so good.
He's doing much better than
so
I am.
Far, so far so good.
I'm.
But Holly's got a cool thing where Flynn has to read 30 minutes a day in school.
Nice.
So they set a timer, and when it's time for Flynn to read, she reads.
Right.
Nice.
And I think that's a really cool thing for them to kind of see happen.
Yes.
That life is not just phone, or device, whatever it happens to be. Even though, and let's be honest, a lot of the work that we do is device-based. So we might be working, we might be playing, we might be communicating. Nobody really knows what we're doing.
Right.
But we're on something. We're looking at some kind of screen most of the day. And that can be a hard habit to break and a hard example to show your kids. But I think it really is
an
important thing to do.
When multiple kids, too. Because when we had just one kid, it was, we had a rule, no matter what we were doing, if he brought you a book, we'd stop and read.
Okay, so if you're wondering what happened,
we decided to just take off our interviewer hats and have a conversation with Brian and Holly, because they're extremely interesting, and we just dived in to that.
Yeah.
So just enjoy listening into our conversation about how we do family and just life.
Yeah, no longer an interview at this point.
Nope,
so
talking about parenthood.
Consider it bonus content, I suppose.
Nice.
And so he's a huge reader. Hard to do with two kids, because we're in the middle of homeschool and Clive bring me over a book and I'm like, can't stop spelling. Like, you know what I mean?
Right?
Like, teaching this one to read right now. Like, and so it's just more challenging, but we do try to like emphasize.
It's funny to hear you say that, because I look back at our kids as they were coming up, but we used to read to Chris and Matthew all the time. More Chris, to the point where Chris got in trouble once for, was it when he tore the border off the wall, or when he colored on the carpet? One of
no,
one
no,
of two
no.
horrible things that he did.
It, Yeah, no, it was that time. I was thinking about when you made him apologize to the puzzle.
That was
a different.
Apologies to a puzzle. Yeah. That was a whole different thing.
Yeah, it was right after. It was
for doing something destructive.
It was right after Matthew was
right
born.
Right after Matthew was born, he got in trouble.
He was two. I mean,
but the best punishment we had for him was we took his bookshelf out of his room.
Yeah.
He was not happy
with that. Oh, that was bad.
But then, you know, if you look towards Tyler and Flynn, who are our younger two, I don't know that we really did a very adequate job.
Not as
maybe
much.
When they were small.
But the good thing is that
we'd read before
not read
bed.
To them nearly as much.
So,
yeah. Say
that again.
Siblings are teachers, too. So
yeah.
That's good.
The problem
is it though?
I don't know.
Is it?
the funny thing about the way our kids are, though, because we have the four boys, but we had two, and we thought we were going to be done at that point. We never did anything to permanently be done.
Such a dream for me that you have four boys.
And then I decided
that, it,
yeah.
It has its moments.
I decided I wanted to try for a girl. And, you know, and so Matthew was two. I mean, there's, what, 3 years, 4 years between them? You do that math while I'm talking.
No, that's not nice.
And so I decided we're going to try for a girl. We're going to use all the little old
wives' tales.
I can never say that right.
Wives' tales.
To get the girl. So, but then I said, because I'm the youngest of three girls, and there is a gap. I'm 4 years and 6 years younger than my sisters. So that's what our third one was going to be. And I didn't ever have anybody growing up. It was my sisters. And then I was just the little brat. So I said, but if we get another boy, we have to have a fourth so that everybody has a friend. We're even numbers. So when you go to the amusement parks, everybody has somebody to ride with. You just... So, but I thought for sure we were going to get the girl, and which was really dumb of me. And well, I mean, your
stupid
aunt
genetics.
Is the only female born, genetic female born in your family in a gazillion.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
she's
forever.
We won't say how old she is.
That's how my family is. It's very
so
good.
It's all boys over there. So sure enough, Tyler comes along as another boy, and so a year and change later,
here came Flynn. We
had to have Flynn. So we have the bigs and the babies, is always how we kind of referred to them.
Except that the babies are now almost almost 12 and almost 10.
Right, but they're still the babies.
But they're still the babies.
And so the babies never got to be true babies. They didn't do the Wiggles thing. They didn't do the Sesame Street. They didn't do the Power Rangers because they saw the bigs who were already on to what 10 and 11 year olds are into when the baby should be into the Wiggles.
Yeah.
So we did the whole Wiggle thing with the big ones, you know, fruit salad and yummy and did all that. But if you said that to Flynn and Tyler, they would look at you like you had 12 heads.
Yeah.
So they were already, you know, into video games and all of that. Like Tyler got excited about, you have a Game Boy on your bedside table.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, I've never played with one of these. And because that wasn't a thing when they were that age. Those were old by then.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a funny dynamic. So they just grow up faster, I think, is
that's
my point.
That's the short version of it.
We were at sports. We didn't have bedtime routines with the babies.
So we
read every night with the little or with the bigs. But we're at sports.
We're at soccer practice. We're at
baseball
games. We're at this and that and the other thing.
So when you get home at 9 o'clock, you're shoving food in their face, which is here's a chicken nugget and some French fries and make sure you drink that chocolate milk.
Right.
I mean, we were those parents because that's what you did. And at 9 o'clock and you're like, just go to bed because we got to get up in a few hours and do it all over again. So there wasn't as much reading. And
yeah, they've grown up. The little two have grown up a lot differently than the big two ever did.
Fascinating.
It's a cool dynamic though, because there's still that same level of kind of adoration and hero worship, that you see with the little ones. Cause Not the youngest one. Flynn has his own. He is very much his own little person.
Yes.
There is just, you're not going to convince him that he's anything other than who he is, and he's not going to do anything other than what he wants to do.
Wants to do.
Yeah. But Tyler.
He's all me.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's got a lot of Holly in him. But you know, Tyler just wants to be whatever Matthew is.
Yes.
That's our 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Those two. He sees what Matthew's doing. That's what he wants to like to
see. How old
is he? He's nine.
He's nine.
Aww.
He's really, really smart.
Of course.
And so he's excited. So the more we've talked about it, the more he's excited about just being with me and Chris. Aww. And so he's in awe of Christopher.
I get it. That's a good example. I have a much older brother. He's actually would have been your age. We were, because 97, 21, that's how old he was. I was 10.
Oof.
Yeah.
11 or so.
I'm
actually even older than that versus my sisters, who are 14 and 15 years younger than me, question mark?
Yeah, something like that.
75, your birth year?
76.
Okay, so he was a year older. So I'm 84, and so, like, I always just, like, admired him. I was like, mm-hmm. my God, you're the best thing in the world. Like, just so far, like, whatever you do. I just want to, you know? So, yeah, I get that.
So it's,
that does happen.
Sisters.
Even today, my sisters, my parents will give them perfectly valid, viable advice that is absolutely rock solid. And they will go, yeah, whatever, we're going to ask Brian.
Yeah.
And then they call and I give them the exact same advice.
They're
like, what? Well, that's what mom and dad said. I'm like, I know that's what mom and dad said because they're the ones who would have told me that. You know, you coming to me is just, you're adding a middleman where you really don't need to. So kids, listen to your parents. They know what you. They know what they're talking about.
Long
story
short.
Yeah, the long and short of it is, listen to your parents. They actually do know what they're talking about.
Been there, done that.
Lean into the experience of the people around you and recognize that it's there for a reason.
How often do we say that to like Tyler and Flynn? You know, this isn't our first rodeo. We've been there. We've done this already. You can't.
You're not
trick
fooling us.
Your
little tricks are not anything that we have not ever seen before. Your brothers pulled that same thing.
I was dating a guy at one point who was, he's not my cousin, it's going to sound so weird. He's my cousin married a woman and her brother.
Every good story starts with, I was dating a guy. He wasn't my cousin, I swear.
I know.
Not my cousin, but my family's Spanish, and so if you're married into the family, you're family.
Right.
Okay.
My cousin married this woman. Her half-brother and I went on a date.
Oh.
So we're really not related.
No.
Okay.
Okay. But in our family, it's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
It was just weird that he asked me out. My dad's like, you're not related.
Yeah.
And
but
so
it's the clueless thing all over.
It's the clueless
again.
Thing.
Yeah. Not really. But yeah.
Yeah.
So we're talking and so I was referencing something. I'm like, but my dad, you know, and it, you know, I was like, oh, rolling my eyes. And he's like, you know, your dad's done what you've thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God. He's like, yeah, he lived a whole life before you were born.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he was an adult and everything. He got married and had kids and then had you. Because I was like, oh my God, you're right. He's like, yeah, he adored my dad. My dad was actually the coolest. But I was at that age where I was like, oh, my dad's like trying to like get on my case. And he's like, oh, your dad's been there. That's why he's getting on your case.
Exactly.
He knows the trouble that you're setting up for yourself because he has lived that trouble.
Right. Yeah, he's like, come on. I'm like, oh my God, rational. Thank you.
You know, and as your boys get older, that will be something that you guys are going to struggle with so much. Is like, I can see you running headlong into absolute disaster.
Yeah.
I know it's going to end badly. I can try and convince you that it's going to end badly, but you're not going
to
believe me.
You have
and
to just let them do it.
Experience it, and it
it's
sucks.
Hard. It's hard when your kids face disappointment or struggle or. And that, I mean, it took a long time, really, for ours to fail at something or to not make a team. Or this year has been hard. This 2 years. Since we moved here, it's been harder on them than I thought it would be.
Especially the middle two.
Yeah, the middle two. Not Chris has been fine. I worry about the day when Chris really fails at something because he's never failed. And I think he's strong enough and confident enough in who he is that I think he'll be okay, but I also worry about it.
Yeah.
Because he's never not made a team. He's never not
been at the top of
successful at whatever he's doing. But Matthew and Tyler have had a lot of heartbreak, if you will, with sports primarily, because they've just not made the teams here.
Yeah.
And that's not, they're not used to that.
Yeah.
And it's been nice to see their reactions to it have actually been, I don't know, sometimes I worry because they don't get upset.
But like you're more like dealing with it.
Yeah, there's like, okay, whatever. But it's also motivated them. So like Matthew will get back out on the court and keep trying and playing and practicing. And sometimes he'll be like, oh, I don't care. I'm just not going to play anymore basketball. But then the next day he's back out on the court. Tyler with baseball, multiple teams he tried out for and didn't
travel
make
teams and
travel teams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And all he'd go, well, that stinks. And then, but then he would get back out and
maybe
be throwing the ball.
Throwing
and,
at the net. We've got, you know, like one of those little backstop kind of deals. So he'll be out there working on pitching. And then
that's awesome.
So
they're driven enough and resilient enough. They're way more resilient than we give them credit
for. And but it's hard. It really sucks to have to tell them you didn't make it.
Yeah.
Well, and it started, poor Matthew. He's so quiet. Matthew is very shy and quiet. And he, eighth grade basketball, he didn't make cuts. But then it turned out the next day the coach mistaked a different player for him.
Oh, that's awesome.
So the coach did actually want him to come back the next day, but got him mixed up.
And he's like, why weren't you at practice today? And Matthew's like, well, you cut me. Why
would
I come back? And the guy's like, what are you talking about? I didn't cut you.
Yeah.
And he looked back at his list. He goes,
oh, whoops.
I cut you instead of this kid.
Exactly. So that, you know, it started there and it just kind of kept happening.
Well, that was the start of the dark season too, because that was right around the same time that
COVID
kind of struck.
Yeah.
So we were, you know, we were here with Matthew as an eighth grader, where he got maybe a half of a school year.
So he never got to meet anybody.
So he really hasn't
really
met too many friends and
that's
all that.
Rough.
So it's been a struggle, but you know, I gotta say, as a parent, you hear all the time, oh, my kids are playing video games, they're doing this, they're doing that. All they do is sit in
mm-hmm.
front of a screen. I'm here to tell you that in an age where mental health is so, so, so important, video games have absolutely been the lifeline that have kept my
kids,
sane, because they can connect with all of those kids who they have been friends with literally their entire lives in Texas, and it's like they never left. So they have that outlet, they have that friendship, they have those relationships. So parents, if your kids are doing that and you hear them talking, as long as it's a kid's voice and not some creepy adult, know that they are absolutely thriving in building relationships. They're just doing it in a different way.
Yeah, it's different,
you know,
than we
just
did.
Just because we all hung out at the corner and jumped in the fire plug and, you know, did all this and walked to Boo Radley's store. It's just a different way of doing things, and as soon as you open up your mind as an adult to see the way that the kids see the world and the way that they interact, I think you're in a much better position as a parent to understand your kids and to recognize that they are doing okay.
That's really good advice.
The kids are
all
right.
Your kids' shoes, because we grew up so different.
Yes.
But so did our parents.
Right.
Yeah.
My parents never knew what a seatbelt was.
Right.
I barely knew what a seatbelt was. Holly used to sleep on the floor of her family's Bronco when they'd go on, or in the back of the Bronco when they'd go on
family
trips.
We'd put all those seats down and we'd sleep while Dad drove.
Dear Lord, our kids were all but tethered to every seat that they ever got in from birth.
Well, and now,
I mean,
you keep your little people backwards until they're like 10 or something. I mean, it's like crazy. Where we were like, oh, you're 20 pounds, turn around. It doesn't matter that you're 8 months old.
Like,
I mean,
as soon as your legs start frogging, we're like,
exactly. Now, you know, back when we were kids, like, just tie them to the roof. They're fine.
Yeah, people were like, David's turned around at a year and a half.
Yes.
Like, David's 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
Like,
honestly.
Yeah.
I caught myself doing it at a baseball park the other night. We were up for practice, and there was this truck driving through the parking lot, and it was clear that they were just coming from the bottom to the top as there were maybe one field going to another.
Yeah.
But there were two kids sitting on the tailgate of the truck, and they were... my frame of reference for how old other people's kids are is completely skewed because ours are all giants. So I'm guessing these kids were probably 10 or 11. So old enough.
Yeah.
And they're just cruising along. And the first thing that popped into my mind was, oh my God, what are those people doing?
Yeah.
And then I went, never mind, that's stupid.
Something I would have done.
Something I absolutely would have done as a kid.
Yeah. Well, we used to drive around and sit on the wheel bump mm-hmm. in my dad's pickup truck to go to the store and stuff. I mean,
yeah,
it's
what you did,
my
right?
babies, they're babies, like 2 and 4. And when we're in the playground, if we're driving from one playground to the other, they sit in the front, one on my lap, and they steal their car. And...
Yeah. We were just talking about that the other day.
There's a lady in our neighborhood who drives her little person up to, I'm guessing, maybe Harris Teeter every day.
You don't have to leave our neighborhood
to get to the grocery store. You just drive right through there. And so every morning while I'm out walking with my neighbor, this lady takes off with her kiddo sitting on the front seat. And at first, both of us were like, oh my God, what is what did we just see? Was that a small person driving the car? But it's just, we just show different levels of, it's just a different methodology. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. It's cool.
But that tailed off quickly. Welcome to a conversation with Brian, where things can just end very quickly.
I love how much you guys like obviously love your children. Like you're so passionate when you speak about them. It's really cool. I love that.
Mm. They have their moments, as I like to say.
You know what? Honestly, we joke about that all the time.
But oh my God, no, our kids.
Honestly, we really do have a very awesome relationship with our boys, and it's not that typical parent child relationship. I mean, we are parents. I mean, you always hear, you know, I'm not your friend, don't be your kid's friend, things like that.
But
in reality,
exactly.
And I think we've clearly defined our roles. I mean, they do respect us. They follow our rules. They're good kids. They really are good kids. But we do have a friend relationship with them. And sometimes they'll flip on a dime if they do something stupid.
Because
then we quickly become a parent.
Right. I love you. I'll be your friend, but I will choke you.
Yeah. But they share. I mean, Christopher does not have a secret in his head.
That's
like,
good.
He shares.
And that's your
17th. There are things I don't want to know. And I'll say that to him. I'm like, Chris, remember, I am your mom. I don't need to know all this. Or I don't want
but
to know.
But that's such a kudos to you that he feels confident and comfortable to tell you that.
Yeah.
Like, that's the goal I have.
We're super close. I mean, all of our kids, we're really close. And we're close as a family. And just the way we talk, I mean, I'm sure other people would cringe
from the outside looking in. Oh my gosh. I'm sure if we were a TV family or something, people would be like, what is wrong with those people? How are those children still alive? We would not be on network television.
No,
we are.
No,
Matthew,
we,
what is it? Matthew says we're family. We're a friendly
family,
but we're not
family
friendly.
but we're a comfortable family where everybody's comfortable with who they are and with each other. And there's no secrets in our house.
That's good. That's healthy.
We're honest with all of them.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if Flynn's in the room or not, we're going to talk about things. We're very open. You know, Chris's sexuality is not a secret in our house.
Spoiler alert, if you're listening, our oldest son is gay.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Flynn fully is aware of that. We talk about what all the different, you know, sexualities mean. We talk about the stuff going on politically.
Yeah.
You know, we don't tell our kids what to believe. They do their own beliefs, but they know where we stand on things. And we're just open. Again, it doesn't matter.
There's no taboo subject.
Yeah.
I think is what it comes down to. It's not a, we don't talk about that in our family situation ever.
Right. Open communication is good. It's healthy. Communication is kindness.
Ooh.
And yes.
Nice. I like that.
Man, make a sign that says that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Try to remember that one.
Yeah.
I still have to make the family friendly one.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. No household with teenagers is family friendly. But like all of the great authors, like the greatest minds, grew up in homes that nothing was off the table.
Yeah.
Nothing. And some, like all books, if you want to read it, have access. But like even they would say, if the content is too heavy for you, put it down. And we'll talk about it in an appropriate way. But like all of the greatest minds, nothing's off the table.
Maybe that's why Flynn is so great.
That must be what it is. You should tell him that.
I should.
Yeah, he'd like that.
Yeah.
He'd like to know why he's awesome.
I think people get confused between like, they go black and white. It's like, it's good to tell kids when they reach a certain age, 10, you know, 9 to 10, it's like, they're looking at it, you know, like, I grew up in Greenwich Village, my babysitter Joey was gay. Like, the guy down the corner who wore nothing but a Speedo all the time. Like, I knew his story. Like, you know, it's just...
Well, if you normalize it, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's not... I mean, at the end of the day, like we were saying earlier with Chris, he's still Chris.
Yeah.
He's just who he is. It's just he will marry another man versus marrying a woman. Like, it's not a big deal.
Assuming anybody's willing to
play. Well, if anyone...
We'll see. I don't know. He's pretty picky.
He's very picky.
Even if he even wants to marry.
Oh, he does. He wants to be a kept husband.
Yes, he wants to be a house husband.
He fully intends to be the one that drives the...
Range Rover.
The Range Rover. The white Range Rover to soccer practice.
Yes.
He'll drive the kids and to soccer practice, and he'll carry his Prada bag with snacks for the kids.
Yeah.
He is very high standard, so he's going to be pretty disappointed one day.
It's important to teach your kids about other ways of life, other cultures, other beliefs.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, teach them about it all.
Exactly.
And help them navigate it, because they're not going to live in your home forever.
Right, right.
That's like one of the things why I want to homeschool them, is because like things are so taboo or off the table or shoved down your throat and telling you what to believe. It's like, no. Let's serve it all and talk about it all, and we will navigate it together. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a buffet. You're allowed to pick.
Yeah.
It's not a cafeteria line where they're like, here, eat this.
Yeah, like I think it's important because I think I just grew up in the city, so you have Muslims and you have Jews everywhere. It's like different. Everyone's different. Every different cultures. Here, it's harder to do that. Concord's really diverse, which is why I'm very thankful for where we live. But like it, making sure I'm intentional to have a diverse group for my children, because I loved growing up like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like no one scares me. Like, you know what I mean? I don't have like presets in my eyes because like I've been in a deep relationship with all these backgrounds. It's like I think people, when they close the communication, they open up prejudices.
Exactly.
Regardless of what it is. And it's like, no, you have blinders on. Take them off. Like, this is a person. Like, you know, we're Christians and we believe people are created, and that is their beauty. Like, God created you. You're lovely. No matter where you stand, you're beautiful, bearing God's image, and you deserve respect. Mm-hmm. Despite what you do, you deserve that. And so that's how we want to raise them. But I just want to be intentional to, like, let them serve it all and help them navigate it. And like, even if it's like challenging for us, that's where I'm from, like, oh no, it was more for him. We can split it together and say,
yeah, you learn it too.
That was the one thing that I always appreciated my dad saying. He's like, I have no idea where that question came from. Like, when I would ask him, he's like, oh, we'll figure it out.
There you go.
As opposed to, I don't know, don't think about it.
And that's not an answer to anybody's question.
Yeah, I got that answer once, and I literally walked away from my faith for like 10 years. I was like, okay, well, because I was 17. I was like, if you don't know by now, I was like, I'm 17.
Oh my god! Okay. I don't even remember that kid. 17.
I know you're just entering life ago. You're like a young adult, like a baby adult.
Yeah,
you're not a kid
baby
anymore.
Adult. I like that.
But you're like a new spring adult.
But what you do totally has impact on your future at that point.
That's
you know, what you do at 9 doesn't.
Right.
But at 17, I mean, that really is
that
a pivotal moment, because if you do something stupid, it will impact you for the rest of your life.
It really will.
So, 17's a hard age.
Yeah.
But I love what you said about the questions and how your dad said, I don't know,
yeah.
but let's figure it out. And
yeah.
and I've always said that at work too. You know, I manage a team and I'm not going to be the expert of everything.
Yeah.
And I always feel like that you are stronger and sound smarter when you say, I don't know, than if you make something up or you change the subject. And that's when you seek out an expert on that particular subject. Because we're all experts in different things. And so you have to ask other people. And it's okay to say, I don't know. That's not a weakness. That's a position of strength.
I agree.
And to teach your kids that, they don't have to have all the answers. And that's okay. What they need is to have the desire to seek out the answers and the ability to recognize, I don't know, and I need to find out from a variety of sources. And that's what we've lost in this country too.
Yeah.
We talk about critical thinking in our house all the time. Like, why is it so important to be able to think for yourself and to be able to seek out answers from reputable
sources
and to look at things from a perspective of, okay, is that what I'm seeing in this particular source of information, does that even sound remotely feasible? What are other people saying about that? Okay, that argument doesn't hold water.
Right.
Let me look at this one and see and kind of progress your way through. I think that our kids have benefited strongly from kind of having that approach to life.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, there's a manufacturing process that's called the 5 Whys. And I don't know if it's part of the Black Belt thing, or I don't know where it comes from.
Why the question?
Okay. And when you have something that goes wrong, you complete the 5 whys. And it doesn't necessarily mean you stop at 5, but you start with the failure or the issue, and you just keep asking, well, why? So it's like a little kid.
I was going to say, that's a toddler
when they
approach.
Yeah, when they annoy you, but it gets down to the root.
Yeah.
And if you can keep asking why and you can keep answering it, you don't stop until you get to the root cause.
Right.
And so that's how when there's a manufacturing failure or a service failure, you complete this worksheet and document that so that you can change a process or improve a procedure. But it's so applicable to life in general.
For sure.
Just keep asking why.
Yeah.
Why somebody believes something? Why somebody does something? Why did you make that decision?
Right. Yeah, the one thing, like when you said the first thing that came to my head, like, we don't do that here anymore, and that's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And the African proverb, it's not, am I right? It's, do you understand? It's not, are you right? Do you understand? Like, when people in Africa debate, they're not debating like we do here for right or wrong, who won the debate. It's, are you making the other person understand your position? And that's it. It is not right or wrong.
Yeah.
And if somebody comes in and says, I agree with it, they will both like, no, 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 no. It's, do you understand?
That's awesome.
That's good. And people don't want to understand. There are some pockets that do.
Right.
But it's not mainstream.
Everyone just wants to win.
That's interesting, because I ask myself that question all the time. I see somebody who has either said something, thought something, brought something up, and you go, what are those people even? What are you even thinking?
Yeah.
And it irritates me sometimes when I can't get that answer. No matter how many times you ask the question why, and the answer is usually just, well, because.
Or an attack.
Because I said
he's
so,
like,
or, well, what
do
you mean you don't understand?
Yeah.
Let me attack you instead
of
coming to
they don't want
with actual information.
Up,
that hurts me.
Very early, what I've learned is when you get revved up, you don't know why you think what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And I'm really annoying, and he knows this, because every time we get into a spiggle, it's
do
because
not
I'm
agree
like,
with that. It's a trap.
Why? It's not.
It's a trap. Run, Andrew.
Because I'm always like, why? Like, why did you think that? Why did you? And so, like, when I notice some, like, 2 minutes in conversation, the person's like, and I'm like, oh, you don't know where you stand.
Yeah.
Well, that's, or they don't believe in it.
Or
they
don't truly
it.
Believe in it.
Yeah.
They know deep down that they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking about that this morning, when somebody gets that defensive
mm-hmm.
that quickly.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about that.
Yeah, that you know that they they recognize they did something wrong.
Subconsciously sometimes.
Yeah.
They don't know.
When they get that defensive,
yeah,
it's...
They say the people who shout the most about things that they claim to hate usually are, it's because they see something of that in themselves that they don't like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's psychologically true. Mm-hmm. I love psych.
We're very, very smart people. It's right there on the table. I mean how do you miss that?
We are just... We're experts. Experts at everything.
Something
real
like
estate.
That.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
Manufacturing,
childbearing.
Yeah, suppression and not talking about things and getting down to the why and understanding is why a lot of hostility exists. Like, hostility is against other races, against other, like, gender orientations, I guess you could say.
Oh, yeah.
Is because it was never talked about. It was suppressed. And so it's like...
It jumped.
The windows are open.
The windows are open. That was a
Isn't
water
that
bottle.
So nice.
So yeah, actually, it's just a lot of suppression. And like I said earlier, communication is super important.
Yeah.
And I like what I love about you guys, like seeing, I just knew from Brian how much he loves his kids. And so like hearing you guys talk about it.
You heard that, right? Like you can tell them that that happened just now.
We're just here. Yeah, I know. Which is funny because I told Chris yesterday, he was saying something about you. And I said, well, Chris, you realize your dad doesn't like you. And he's like, I know.
It's true.
It's so true.
I love him instead.
Yeah. I don't even know what it was that he was talking. He was picking on you. He picks on you a lot.
That's a family dynamic.
That is
not just him.
That's true.
Yeah.
We do gang up on. I almost called you Ron.
You did. I know.
I had to stop myself.
Was it last summer? When did...
Well, I've been Karen for longer than that.
When did the Karen thing come
along? The Karen thing started...
Before Karens were a thing.
Oh, yeah, before Karens were a thing.
Karens really just kind of blossomed last summer-ish, I think, in the rest of the world. But Holly has been Karen to our kids for a good couple of years.
I want to say it was eighth grade that Chris started that. No, what it started as, Christopher and I were at Target, and...
Every good story starts with we're at Target.
And those, the little decorative birds that wear the costumes for the seasons.
The birds came into play.
I was like, oh my gosh, we need these. And he said, yes, Karen, we do. And it just came out of nowhere. And it just, he did it in a funny voice, you know, yes, Karen, yes. And it just stuck. And so he started calling me Karen. And he started calling me Karen so much that friends that have known us for years started going, wait, I thought her name was Holly. And would like very uncomfortably ask me about that. And so it was really hilarious. And then it was last summer, you became Ron.
Yeah, and I'm
and I don't know why you became Ron.
It just happened. Ron or Ronald, depending. Yeah. So now, and to your point, that happens a lot. Like there are times when I have to second guess myself when I want to call Holly Holly. But now it doesn't feel natural anymore.
No.
I almost want to call her Karen because we've just... That has been
I don't
dynamic.
Even answer to Holly sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you have to yell Karen and then she'll answer.
And I'll respond. And a lot of our friends here, since we've moved here, because we've been Ron and Karen, we, like, that's how people know us at the cheer gym and things. And so when I call him Brian, and I'll have to be like, Chris's dad, my husband, Ron. They're like, oh, okay.
We're special.
And when Karen got to be like a bad name, people used to get, Chris's friends would get upset with him and they were like, you're so disrespectful. Don't call your mom that. And
she's
like, no, it's not like that. It's not like that.
You actually have the name Karen. I feel so bad.
I do too.
We have a friend in our neighborhood named Karen.
Karen,
and
yeah,
I feel terrible for her. She's a perfectly lovely person.
Right.
But it sucks to be her.
Yeah.
It's just bad timing.
But it was kind of funny because she was kind of clueless to it.
Aww.
But they have little people.
Her people are littler than yours.
So she's...
Or right around the same age.
Yeah,
maybe
so they're kind of in a different world. Than,
yeah, they're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. The different dynamic. They just... But yeah, shit.
Yeah.
I only learned about it, 2 months ago.
Oh gosh, yeah, oh, the Karen right. thing's been a Karen thing. Yeah, it's been.
Yeah.
But I think that's while, because we have older kids and TikTok and yeah. Twitter and
yeah.
So we're up to speed with, we're more up on all the.
It's true.
The culture.
It happened. I tell you this with Annie, my sister, my oldest sister Annie is 31. Question mark. I'm going to say 31. Okay. She had a conversation with Chris over text the one day because he is obsessed with Squishmallows, the little stuffed squeezy pets.
Okay.
They're super soft.
Soft and they're ridiculously squishy. Yeah. They're awesome. Yeah. Well, he has 1,000 of them because yes. Chris. But he saw online that Costco had Baby Yoda Squishmallows, and we don't have a Costco membership, but Annie does. And he's like, hey, next time you're there, can you get me one of these? And she said, sure. And he said, oh, period. Well, you're making the same face she did.
Yeah.
She called me a couple days later. She says, okay, I had this conversation with Chris, and he said, period. What the heck is he talking about? And I was like, oh, I said, oh, period is like, and I felt like this old man pulling out a Webster's dictionary, right? Well, hi, Rex. Rex has guilt. It was, you know, well, that means that, oh, conversation over, that's awesome. Or, oh, fantastic. Or whatever the case may be, basically, end of story. Yeah. I am excited about this, end of story. Oh, period.
Oh, period.
Oh, period. Like,
that's what that means.
That's what just, that means. So
I'm done. Yeah.
Exactly. Welcome to old people translating for teenagers. Yeah,
you spell it out. Period.
Yeah. In fact, yeah. I actually texted him period last night, but it was on your phone.
On my phone.
We put in a new light fixture in the hallway last night. Well, I did while they were gone, and I sent Holly a picture. And Chris is like, "Oh, hey, this is Chris. I'm on mom's phone." And I'm like, "Oh, well, do you like it?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, she's pretty or whatever." And I was like, "Oh, period." And I texted it back without even thinking about it, to where now it's entered my lexicon, and I'm 40. You know, 40-year-old people should not be saying "oh, period." Today is brought to you by the time change and ADD. Today's episode brought to you by Adderall.